for every situation. Moving through the doorway of a nation.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Back in the early 1980s, Alison Moyet first topped the charts as half of the English band Yaz, or Yazoo as they were known on their side of the Atlantic. There were lots of new wave slash electronic bands on the radio and on the brand new MTV, but Moyet's richly textured contralto rang out above the fray. Since going solo in 84, Moyet has had more hits as well as a long period of time away from music. But that distinctive voice was built for the long haul, and Alison Moyet is back with a new album. It's called Other. There's a world tour to follow, and she is here with us on Soundcheck. Alison, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
I really love the title. I mean, it's so simple. It's a word we use all the time,
Other.
Mm-hmm. But it can mean, I mean, they're just layers of possible meaning.
It means so many things, you know, and when you're young, you have this fear of being other, you know, this fear of not fitting in, and actually you get to this brilliant place, which is middle age, where you're really glad that you don't fit in. There's so many things you just don't want to align to whatsoever. And also the other fact that so many of us feel like we're spinning and we're out on our own with this difference. When you actually get into each other's heads, you find out we're all, you know, we're all equally as other. Yeah, exactly. And that kind of pulls people like you and I together, really.
Yeah. So speaking of pulling things together, I mean, this album covers a lot of sonic territory as well.
Yeah.
You know, there's one track, I think it's Reassuring Pinches, that begins with a little kind of Giorgio Moroder krautrock thing, but then the title track is a kind of an acoustic ballad. Mm-hmm. The ominous rock of Beautiful Gun. The one I want to start with is the actual opening track from the record called I Germinate, which seems to combine kind of an electronica trip-hop thing with a big James Bond-style chorus. Is this just you saying, I want all the sounds, give me all the sounds?
No, do you know, the relationship that I have with Guy Sigsworth, who produced the album, is an interesting one, is that we genuinely, we work as a band, you know. My territory is vocal. You know, it's like, you know, the way the voice is presented, the lyrics, the shape of the song, ultimately, is mine. And Guy has his palette that he works with, you know. So the way that he and I work together is he would give me a very basic track, a really simple basic track, which I won't listen to until I've got into record. I put it into record, and the minute I start listening to it, I start to improvise. So I have no idea of what the, you know, what the progression of the chord structure is. I have nothing at all. So that the melody that you can create can actually be really quite distanced from anything that you hear, because you're just working on subconscious the whole time. And to this, I will write a narrative. And then once I've done this, then Guy proceeds to paint around me after I've told him what I'm meaning, what the meaning is to my song here.
Well, you and Guy Sigsworth, you've been working together now for many years.
No. It's the last two albums, so you know, okay. He worked with me on the minutes, and what I loved about
that was a number of years ago.
I suppose it was, yeah. You know, you're quite right, and I sort of like, yeah, there you are, right. It was quite a few years ago. So he has been my focus for, as you say, some number of years. But what I liked about working with him is that we speak the same language. You know, that there's no. He at no time tries to dominate me, and at the same time I don't try and edit him. You know, we are given freedom within this union that we have to color with whatever paints we choose, you know.
Well, let's hear a little bit. This is the opening track, I Germinate, from my guest Alison Moyet. The new album is called Other.
Until the fire is humbled in the gray. This cup in its forgotten stain. That measure tides, high tides, boat across the world unspoken. As a crocus suffering, saffron token. Until the dew evaporates, and while the clay bathes. I just stay.
That's a bit of I Germinate. That's the opening track from Alison Moyet's new album called Other. This is your ninth
solo
album,
record. Yeah, 11th if you include Yaz, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you were talking before we heard that clip about the process. For you, it's melody first and then lyrics?
Well, I mean, not always, to be honest. I mean, you know, and this probably, this album, less than the one that preceded it, in the sense that it's far more poetry-based, you know. So, like, for example, on the song, say, the track, April 10th, which is a spoken word track, you know, that I didn't want to amputate the poem, you know. I'm starting from a poetic point of view, and I didn't want to amputate the poem, and so I thought, well, you know, after all, when we're speaking, aren't we singing? We're just singing in a couple of semitones, you know, that's what's going on here, you know.
You mentioned April 10th, that is actually one of the tracks I wanted to ask you about, because I mean, it really does stand out. It's a spoken word piece.
Yes.
And the accompanying sounds, just kind of like a wash of electronics.
Yeah.
You wouldn't call it a song,
no,
per se.
No.
Have you written, you know, other than songs before?
No, I haven't. And like I say, my lyric writing has progressed more into a poetic form, where, you know, rhyming becomes kind of insignificant in many places. It's kind of about the sounds and the phonetics and the inversions of the sentences. But no, this was the first time that I thought, actually, I'm not prepared to cut this down to shape, because I need this whole... This is a stream of consciousness. This describes the day and how my mind flitters from one thought to the other as I am observing. And now I'm living an observational life. And so this is the kind of thing that's coming out from that.
And is the date, April 10th, significant?
It was the date that I went out and the fog rolled in.
So it literally
it literally
is what
was
we hear.
April. Yeah. That was that day. That was that day that that's what happened on Brighton seafront. And that led me to all these other thoughts about how one person's, you know, a bright moment is actually, you know, the bleakest for another person, and how behind my dark wall is your bright garden.
Mm. All right, let's hear a little bit of the piece called April 10th from the album Other. This is music, and in this case, poetry by Alison Moyet.
Fog, like boiled wool, felt tight, rolled in as though a bale of hay introduced. And there grew up a wall of concrete grey, cutting brief the promenade and swallowing whole companion dogs. Ahead, a pavilion measured in steps levitates just beneath the press and bears the weight on its rigid knees. Quadruped. Biped. Floating harbour for the gulls at ease. No room left but these empty yards that gather in. Crew neck close. Audience early arrived for a keener view.
April 10th. That's a really striking change of timbre, Alison, from the rest of the album Other. And as you were saying, you know, one person's bright moment is another person's dark moment. Mm-hmm. That idea of otherness. The flip side of that is empathy.
Yes.
Realizing that there is. And a lot of your songs seem to come from that point of view.
Yeah, I mean, I've lost, you know, the interest that the youth have in a romantic narrative. You know, that holds no sway for me at all, or the flattery that middle-aged women are subjected to in this way that we're supposed to be so dreadfully grateful for. You know, now, all of this I find incredibly tiresome, and you'll see that in Love Ago, which is precisely about that. It's, you know, enough now. However, I, you know, where now that I've found myself in this pretty calm place where I've, you know, I've had a lot of darkness in my life and a lot of neurosis, and I don't feel that anymore, you know. However, now I'm looking out at this landscape of people that are, you know, feeling alone and feeling frightened and disenfranchised, and exactly that, just feeling a huge amount of empathy for them, which, you know, I don't know if you were heading towards that song, but for example, The Rarest Birds, this,
yes,
this relates to this song, you know, that I live in this town, Brighton, which is full of diversity, where you'll find old, you know, octogenarians dressed up in pink suits wearing pink helmets, and you'll find young girls who in any other place would feel like they have to beautify deliberately, you know, making themselves grim. You know, there's this ability to be anything. And within all of this, you know, we have a big gay population, we have a big trans population. And it's the thought of when I walk down these streets and I see these people free of all these restraints, of these conservative restraints that have been applied to them, to actually just live their simple, innocent lives as they want to do, and just wanting to take their hands and saying, you know, yeah, maybe someone's going to kick our teeth in, but let's go down together because I'm with you. And so that probably is the most empathetic song I've ever written, I think.
Bearing easy, Mercury is high, a Eurexy, is this? It's dreadful party dress. The lights are strung like bells, so offer your throat, and if we hang, then we hang in.
That's a little bit of The Rarest Birds from Alison Moyet. She's with me on Soundcheck. Her new album is called Other. And Alison will be here in New York on Friday night, September 15th, performing at Irving Plaza for what is being billed as the other tour, I guess.
Yeah, it's good. It works, doesn't it? The other tour, yeah.
Now, just as The Rarest Birds isn't really about birds, the English you is not really about grammar.
It's entirely about grammar and the English.
Come on.
I'm telling you. Now, let me explain something to you. So, the family that I grew up in, I've got my father, who's a Frenchman, who's, they're both dead now, but a very forceful, domineering man. And my mother, who is a very reserved English woman, the only thing my mother could control was her children and the English language. This was her dominion. And sadly, I am dyslexic. So in all the ways that I could ever disappoint her is I could never spell. I could never spell. Mm. Now, I lost my mum recently to Alzheimer's, and it was a long, torturous, tragic journey. But the one thing my mother had when she had lost all else was her ability to recognise grammar flaws. You might not have heard a word from her all day. She'd be in a car, you'd be driving somewhere, she'd look up there and she'd tell you her apostrophe was in the wrong place. And one of her biggest bugbears was the loss from the English language, and I suppose, forgive me, as in an Americanization, is the U's removed. And in other words, where you would spell colour C-O-L-O-R, we would have C-O-L-O-U-R.
Right.
And this defines the English from American English. And as she was getting older, and as her desperate need to recognise herself in the language became greater, the missing you became really significant to her. Now, for me, who felt in so many ways like a disappointment, that I couldn't remember my mother before this terrible disease, but what I could remember is her you. That's what the song is about.
Right. So, it's literally, after all, not about the grammar, but about the people, you know, the
well,
personal,
yes, yeah. Yes, but the English you is the English you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, of course, but then every song, no song has sort of like one layer. There's something, and same with Beautiful Gun, that some people will see it as as an anti-firearms, and other people choose to see it as something saucy, you know. And the point of the matter is there's a big part of me that really doesn't want to impress onto everybody what each song means, because I think we should see ourselves in where we want to find ourselves.
It's the great thing about songs,
yeah.
and poetry and visual arts and
yes, exactly
dance, and, you know, it's it does admit lots of levels of interpretation. See what you make of this one, Soundtrack listeners. This is from the album by Alison Moyet called Other.
I want to know the karma, though I neglect to honor every breath implied, uncertain of its need. Happen chance, I am wanton, misplacing or forgotten. You were always sure to tell me what to read. I am made quite otherwise, it seems. A criminal to grammar, to apostrophe the hammer.
Oh, that's your name, that's all it's to dream.
That's a little bit of the English U, the letter U. Alison Moyet with me on Soundcheck. I have to say, you know, I've done some writing for the Cambridge University Press, you know, here in the States, and I write color and molding, and then they send the proofs back, and it's color and molding. It's like, what? You've misspelled my...
Well, in fact, my middle child did languages at Cambridge as well. So it's kind of an interesting thing that not only was I beaten up about my mother from my mother, my daughter underneath me was correcting me. It's like just a miserable existence to not be able to spell, I tell you.
Now, when your mother was in the final stages of Alzheimer's, were you still able... Did she respond to music?
She would respond when I'd sing to her, you know, and, you know, there's a song on one of my albums that's called Dorothy, and that was about her mother and describes the flat that she lived in when I was a child, and that would always, you know, take my mother to some sad place, but she loved to hear it. So, and then also, you know, that she had a favourite book, and every time I saw her, which was a few times a week, I would just get to read the first chapter of this same book time and time again. But of course, it's forgotten the minute it's done. But it was her favourite book, and that's what we did.
Yeah, the thing with music, though, is because it affects the brain globally.
Yes.
People with Alzheimer's, you know, there's still ways to access them through
well,
song.
There were times that we could sing some of those songs, and she'd sort of like, you know, have as much of it as she didn't, you know.
Yeah. So let's talk back out a little bit here and talk about, you know, you were saying before how you've gotten to a place where, you know, you don't worry about the young ingenue point of view in your songwriting and stuff. Has a woman's place in the music industry changed since you started with Yaz?
Well, there's almost like a two-pronged attack on that one. One would be that I don't know what a man's perspective would have been, so it's hard for me to compare them, although that's not the question you're asking. You're asking whether my experience as a woman has changed.
Yeah.
And yes, that will have changed, but it will have changed as much by my age as it would be by this new defining idea that women have become empowered by being overtly sexual. And for me, you know, as an older woman that can sit back and watch and think, my love, you know, you are beautiful. There's no doubting that you are beautiful. But if you imagine that this man, perhaps, who is telling you that you are liberated yourself by taking your top off, it's like he is playing into your, you know, he's just manipulating the language. It's like, no, you are still being used as a sexual object. And what's worse in some ways is that you are projecting yourself as a sexual object. Because a lot of people say, well, what about the pressure that men put on you? And maybe it's because I was never beautiful, and maybe it's because that was never my shtick. But I never had anyone telling me that I need to smarten up, or I need to take this off, or to lose weight, or to do any of those things. Sometimes I wonder whether the oppression that women face when it comes to their bodies and the way they look is sometimes from our own sex.
Hmm. So when you were getting started, people didn't, I mean, you know,
no one ever,
you've lost a lot of weight.
Yeah, I listen, but I've done that loads of times. I've lost a lot of weight. I see so like there's no tomorrow. No, absolutely. But no one ever, I mean, you know, people had plenty of stuff to say about it. You know, you could be mocked. You could, you know, be derided. You could be excluded, all of those kind of things. But no one ever said, lose weight. Hmm. No, never.
So, you know, the 21-year-old Alison Moyet versus the 21-year-old Adele, would they have had vastly different experiences, or has the industry just not...
No, I think they would have had differences. And I think the difference would have been is where I learnt my job in front of an audience. You know, the new breed are having these kind of music colleges, these establishments where they can try themselves out, where they have, you know, kind audiences to face, where they're playing to their own. They are able to hone their performance before they're actually brought to a stage. So what you'd see, the difference between me and Adele is you'd have seen me like some object completely out of place and Adele completely in command of her space, completely in command of who she was, you know. Once upon a time, I had fear because I used to have voice problems, and the reason I used to have voice problems is because it never occurred to me how to warm up. You know, this goes right down to, you know, that, you know, I played in punk bands. We got, you know, we had a few beers, we got on the stage and we screamed, and I continued that. It's just that when you're on a world tour and you're singing 2-hour sets with some powerhouse songs, you know, you can't get away with that. You know, a runner would never sprint without stretching his muscles, and so it took me a long time to figure, oh, actually, you'd feel a lot more comfortable if you just sang a little bit before you went on stage. And so once I figured that out, then I was king.
Well, you've done other things on stage. I mean, you've done theatre.
Yes, and theatre was really informative for me because, I mean, again, being a punk, we didn't approve of musical theatre, you know. And so it was the very fact that when I was asked to do this, at a time when I was having a fight with my record company, they wouldn't release the album, Home Time it was at the time, because they wanted something far more mainstream for me. And I was, you know, I was sticking my heels in. I wasn't going to change. But then I got offered this job in Chicago in the West End. And my first thought of that was, how revolting, you know, what a revolting thing to do. But then the very fact that I felt that made me want to try it. And actually, it was a really brilliant turning curve for me because, for one, I wasn't the star. So, you know, all attention was not on me. I wasn't running the show. You know, I was a part of a collective, which put me back in society again from when I'd been, you know, the last time really was when I was a kid. So I felt like I was part of the community again. And the other thing is that some nights I would go on and it would be my audience. You know, they'd be coming to see Alice Moyen and I'd get a fantastic cheer. Other nights, you know, you might have a lot of Chinese people or somebody else who had no idea who you were, weren't interested whatsoever. And so you had to take the same level of applause that any walk-on would get, you know, and that's absolutely fair. And actually, when you realise that the only thing that you can control is your output, the only thing that you can really control is your output, and you can't expect or, you know, anything, that I stopped needing approval from other people to do my job. I didn't need someone to tell me, you've done that well or you've done that poorly. I know that myself.
So when you say it's a turning point in your musical career as well?
It was a turning point in my stage, my comfort on my stage, you know, that I went from, I just stopped feeling external anxiety that I used to. Before that, I'd had periods of agoraphobia and all sorts, and it just normalised me again. Normalised me.
Looking from a window above, it's like a story of love. Can you hear? Yesterday, I'm moving farther away. Won't you near me? All I needed was the love you gave. All I needed for another day. And all I ever knew, only you.
Well, this performance from a very different kind of stage. Alison Moyet performing Only You, one of the old hits from the band Yaz, at the Burberry Women's Wear Spring-Summer 2016 show with full orchestra. We're speaking with Alison Moyet. Her new album is called Other, and the Other Tour will bring her here to New York, to Irving Plaza, on Friday, September 15th. There was a Yaz reunion not so long ago.
Yeah, 2008. Yeah.
Any chance of that happening ever again?
From my perspective, I would be up for it just because I loved it. And it's a real gift to be able to go and do a 2-hour show where every audience member knows every single song. I mean, there's no hard sell. There's no you will get this. There's no taking someone's ears off. It's like it's like they get it. And that was a real pleasure. I mean, it was phenomenal. However, I think that Vince would have less reason to want to do it. He's very ensconced in his relationship with Andy, and they're a very successful band. And you know, they never stop working. So I don't think he'd need to. Not that I do, but I found pleasure in it.
Yeah, well, the track called Happy Giddy. will probably make old Yaz fans happier.
Do you think so?
I think so.
Well, you know, it's funny how songs come about. I remember that came from a tweet because I'd been in the studio for the first time with Guy and we'd had a really brilliant day and I just tweeted, God, that's Happy Giddy. I thought, what a great title for a song, you know. And then it took me into this whole kind of like social media world where, you know, you look on Facebook and everyone has to be living the most wonderful life. They're having the best sex. They're having the best parties. They're eating the best food. They're having the best holidays. And how tiresome it becomes when not only are you having to deal with your own grief you've got in your life, but then have to match it against someone's idyllic, you know. And it's fronting up that language. It's fronting up that language. Just give it a break. Are you really that happy? Are you really that happy? Are you really that happy? Stop.
Well, let's hear a little bit of it. Happy Giddy is the name of it. It's from Alison Moyet from the album Other.
Dear little ghoul, are you out to play with your game in pieces? Jiminy Cricket staying home today. Imitate the pieces, an optimal man. The walls on the pavement are on and on. It's mob entertainment. Find true life online. Emoji mankind. Happy Giddy.
Happy Giddy is the name of that. It's music from my guest Alison Moyet. Her new album is called Other, done with Guy Sigsworth. And so what does the tour look like?
Big. It looks big and long, and it looks like the kind of tour that a girl who went to the gym 8 times a week was said yes to, which is what I was doing. Meanwhile, however, I've signed up to, I go to college now. I go to college where I'm studying figurative sculpture. So in making this album, I've been like spending my days doing sculpture. In the evenings, I'd go to the other side of London and record. And in the weekends, I'd be writing the songs that I needed for the evenings of the next week. Yeah. And so what was the question you just asked me?
What does it look like? It looks big.
Yeah. So consequently, I've not been going to the gym anymore. However, it's big to the point where even my managers are going, are you sure you want to do this? And it's like, absolutely. You know, it's like I'm going to be 56 2 days after the album comes out, and it's like if I don't do it now, while I know that I'm at the top of my game, it's I can only look forward to a downward trajectory. So go for it.
Well, just as going to the gym keeps one set of muscles going, warming up the voice, and
taking care
of it takes care of a very different
really,
set
really
of
does.
Muscles.
Yeah. And being out there stops me from going closing myself off again. So I'm really excited about it. I'm really excited about it.
The Other tour brings Alison Moyet back to New York Friday, September 15th at Irving Plaza. The album is called Other. It's out now. Alison, a real pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been wonderful.
That's all for this Soundcheck podcast. Follow us at Soundcheck on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or follow us on Instagram at Soundcheck Radio. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Light production work provided by the New Sound staff, Karen Havlick. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.
Don't you know, I'd never let you go.